Okay, we are still in Councils for the Church. Page 171, if you got the book. It's the final section of chapter 31, which is called the Book of Books. Oh, wow, the next chapter 32 is about music. That'll be interesting. But anyway, it says the nature of one's religious experience is revealed by the character of the books one chooses to read in one's leisure moments, or the movies one chooses to watch. In order to have a healthy tone of mind and sound religious principles, the youth must live in communion with God through His Word. Pointing out the way of salvation through Christ, the Bible is our guide to a higher, better life. It contains the most interesting and most instructive history and biography that were ever written. Those whose imagination has not become perverted by the reading of fiction will find the Bible the most interesting of books. And I got to attest to that, because I remember the first time I started reading it. And I never read any novels or anything like that. I already mentioned that a few times. Because they're boring. I have my own imagination. I don't need someone else to give me their imagination and try to enthrall me with it. I just thought that's ridiculous. It's all made up. It's all fake. What do I want to read that? I'm not going to learn anything by it. I'm not going to waste my time and read something that's just falderal. It just, I don't care how interesting it is, it's still not true. So there's no benefit to reading it. I praise God He put that in me as a kid, because I just thought that was just stupid. Maybe it's because I, read a lot of encyclopedias when my parents finally got that set for me. But can you hear that bird? I don't know where he's at. He must be in the tree. He's not on the dish here. But... oh, yeah, and also wanted to praise the Lord that when that branch fell there, and Fran didn't get hurt, the birdhouse in there wasn't occupied. So, anyway, she goes on to say that the Bible is the book of books. If you love the Word of God, searching it as you have opportunity, that you may come into possession of its rich treasures and be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, then you may be assured that Jesus is drawing you to Himself. Wow, doesn't that make you feel amazing, all warm inside? How do you explain that? Because He wrote it, and so, it's obvious that He wrote it. He is the Word made flesh. But to have Him draw Himself close to you, even though it's not like you see, a ghostly figure standing next to you, putting His arm around you. You don't see the footsteps in the sand next to you as you're walking down the road with Him, or on the beach with Him and stuff. You don't have to. When He speaks and He says something's going to happen in a certain way, or He promises something, or He says He's going to be with you all the way to the end of the world, and it's not the end of the age like the NIV puts it. This is, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. That's because they got to push that 7-year trip thing and, all this other, and in the 1,000 years of peace. That's the main reason they put the end of the age instead of the world. But to have Him say in His Word that He's with you to the end, and then to have her echo the same sentiment here, and I understand very much why He said what He said in regards to the evil and adulterous generation always seeking after a sign, because I hate asking Him for signs, even though sometimes I'm tempted to do this. Look, I need a hug, anything, a dream, but it don't let a verse jump off a page, and stuff like that happens, of course, to all of us, but sometimes you just feel you just need to know He's there for you. But here's the thing. You don't. He already said He was. Take Him at His word. He said it. You got to believe it, and you should just settle it. And so when He does draw nigh to you because of His word, He really does. Whether you feel it or not, it doesn't make any difference. He's not a liar. So going on, it says, but to read the scriptures in a casual way without seeking to comprehend Christ's lesson that you may comply with His requirements is not enough. It's like going through the motions. It's just a waste of time. She says, there are treasures in the Word of God that can be discovered only by sinking the shaft deep into the mine of truth. And especially in today's world, this really does help a lot. Because I praise God that He gave me over 30 years to get into His Word, because I know for the first 5 or so years, I was just reading it to try to grasp it, to try to understand it. And a lot of times I would surface read it because I was in a hurry and stuff like that. And for a while it was boring because I was more or less into the, shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movies and stuff. I didn't do the novels, like I said, but I did do the movies. But when you get after, you know, at the tail end of a lot of years of reading it, that piece that transcends all understanding, I mean, you just can't explain it, that really does benefit you in this, in today's world. Like a praise, I forgot to mention that Fran gave me to get, was praise his name for all the, him being close to her and close to me too as well during all these intense trials, especially what happened this week, and it's a family thing, but still. Had we not been in the scriptures for as many years as, and you don't have to be in it for decades either. You can be in the word a couple of weeks. You know, because even as a babe in Christ, even though I was surface reading and I wasn't getting a lot of it, I was getting enough, and that's what kept me in there. He knows what to give you when you need it. And it really does help, especially in today's world with all the craziness that's going on. And now that we see, like Sister White said, some of the you know, the last few prophecies are going to happen really quickly. I mean, look at what Trump just did. And just to try to get us off track. In other words, to go out with a loud cry. And the main reason is to make us less effective. That's the way the devil does it, to try to prevent us from getting to our loved ones, to getting to our siblings, to getting to our, you know, spouses or whatever the case may be, or even just coworkers or classmates. It doesn't matter. Whoever you have a burden for or love, they don't see what you see, and so they don't see any urgency in the matter. It always reminds me of the one time I was standing out there in the parking lot waiting on Fran to get back because I stopped in a computer store and she went down with one of my daughters to go check out something. She had to go at the other end of the strip mall. I got done with my business in the computer store, which was odd because I usually go walk around there for hours like a kid in a candy store. And I got what I needed. I come out and I'm standing there and I just went into one of those, you know, I started praying, and then you go into that, I wouldn't say it's a trance or daze or anything like that, or kind of like a daydream. Kind of like you're just looking around and everything slows down a little bit and you start realizing nobody knows. I mean, looking at all of them, none of them have any concern whatsoever. Especially when you hear them making the jokes between themselves and the four-letter words are flying out like they're just their ABCs. I mean, it's just crazy how the overwhelming majority out there have no clues to what's going on because none of them read their Bibles. They don't, and that's what the devil's going for. And that's going to get them all off guard. That's why, you know, summer has ended, the harvest is past, and they're not saved. And that's what concerns me for my loved ones. I would imagine. And so, but there are treasures in the Word of God, and it really does help you. Even with those little dinky little darts that Satan throws at you, sometimes they can be pretty annoying, and they cause you all sorts of issues in your heart and your spiritual life or whatever like that. Well, try anyway. But that perfect peace of Christ is real. And that's what really saddens me for atheists. They have absolutely no clue as to what that means. I mean, it's really scary for them. And they'll laugh it up when you tell them something like that. You can be as sincere as you can possibly. You can have a tear dangling on your cheek. And they'll laugh it up like it's no big deal. They really can't see this. And it's so valuable. And it's a perfect word for it. It's a treasure in the Word of God. It's that pearl of great price. Salvation. It's the love of Jesus. Even an angel can't figure it out. You know, they can't explain it, what he did in Calvary. She says, the carnal mind rejects the truth, but the soul that is converted undergoes a marvelous change. See, that's why he said, by their fruits you shall know them. A lot of people come out there, especially some that'll say that all of a sudden they become Christians, and then you could tell by their fruits. No, because I remember when I became a Christian, I didn't realize I changed the way I did until one of my brothers came up to me and told me what he said. You know, that he wanted the old Nick back. And I thought, what do you mean? I mean, I didn't say that out loud. It was just like, whoop, we just lost internet. I'm going to try to hang in here as long as I can. Can you all hear me? Can anybody hear me? Test, test. Fran, can you hear me? Yeah, because we're on the network here, but yeah, we got a pretty dark sky over there on the north end of us, but okay, we got the connection back. All right, so we may be falling in and out for a while because the direction from which I get, I guess, the trunk line that feeds our internet is getting slammed by lightning right now. That tornado warning. I just got my connection back to the server. I know Frank can hear me because we're on a intranet there. But is anybody okay? No sound? Okay, how about now? Can you hear me now? Yeah, I know Fran can. All right, let's just finish this, and we'll put, because I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to the internet. Yeah, I know everybody keeps falling out because there's a very bad, well, there's a tornado down the road, I guess. And
yeah, there's like major lightning by Kentland, and it's going this way, it's right above us.
It's, yeah, there's something really bad right above us, and you know, you can see it here. I mean, it's, the sky is black over there, and so let me just finish this chapter and we'll shut it down for tonight, because like I say, I might not be able to hold a connection for long because the storms are down the road and they're affecting what feeds my internet. I mean, really bad lightning. So anyway, so they undergo a marvelous change. The book that before was unattractive because it revealed truths which testified against the sinner now becomes the food of the soul, the joy and the consolation of the life. The Son of Righteousness illuminates the sacred pages, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them to the soul. And so that is a good way of explaining it, because when you become a babe in Christ, you do realize that change. You do feel the... I mean, okay, fine. Jesus did mention being born again, and but the way they overuse that term today, it sounds cheap compared to what's really happening, because you really are a new creature. Because I remember when I found Christ, things literally changed like overnight. And so it's real. It really is real. And that's why I was saying a moment ago that it's really sad for the atheists. And I'm going to continue to record this, even though we might lose internet, because I want to finish this out in case somebody wants to listen to it later as it's uploaded to the server. But we're almost done anyway. And we are going to shut down early tonight because, like I said, the lightning that's dancing all over the place just north of here is going to keep knocking everybody out. So anyway, she says, let all who have cultivated a love for light reading now turn their attention to the sure word of prophecy. Take your Bibles and begin to study with fresh interest the sacred records of the Old and New Testament. And praise God, we all did that before we even know we were supposed to. So amen to that. And so she says, the oftener and more diligently you study the Bible, the more beautiful will it appear, and the less relish you will have for light reading. Bind this precious volume to your hearts. It will be to you a friend and guide. And it does. When it gets really scary, you always think, well, wait a second. Jesus already warned us about this, which means he's already got it covered. The prophecy says we're going to go forward with the work anyway. The bride of Christ will go forth. The remnant of her seed will be blessed. A loud cry will be loud. And it doesn't matter if I die, and you know, somebody else is going to step up and finish the job anyway. Or if I go to jail, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. It will happen. What? You know, so amen. And so it really, you know, that's one of the beauties of walking with Christ. And again, like I said earlier, it's so sad when I think about the atheist. Because the only reason I'm bringing them up now is because I've been dealing with... I put two videos on the YouTube last week, I guess, about the atheists. And the comments they give, it's just like... I don't want to call them reprobates because I don't know their hearts. But some of them act like they want to be reprobates. They hate God that much. And they give these crazy excuses. And when you give them the evidence that they misapplied the scripture and took it out of context, they change the question every time. It's just like people that won't deal, that will not listen to the doctrines we share with them. You know, about the state of the dead or the Godhead itself, or even the true Sabbath. They'll always twist it around and try to sanctify their own rebellion, which can't be done with scripture. And an atheist, I mean, a good definition for an atheist in a casket is all dressed up, nowhere to go. So they think, but they're going to wake up. Even them, even though they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're still going to wake up at the end of that 1,000 years. And they're going to have to deal with an absolute, overwhelming, concrete reality that Jesus Christ Israel. And, well, look at that, Israel, 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 Israel. Oh, wow, that looks wild. That harvested winter wheat field is glowing. I guess it just looks eerie, the way you got the dark blue cloud above it. But anyway, let's pick it up again here next week at Music Chapter 32. Like I said, everybody keeps falling in and out, and it really doesn't make any... I don't want to keep recording because it's just going to... It's going to get choppy. So let me stop here.